A Boundless Reservoir. My name's Chris Norris, and we are coming to you pretty late this evening, actually. Been busy with work, doing a lot of driving, so yeah, been busy, and here we are. So we've made it back, and I tell you what, the weather today was very beautiful. Sun was out, got to ride around with the window down for a little bit, and even the adventures that we had as far as driving today was out towards Vail, North Carolina. So yeah, we were way out there, out in the country. Got to see some of that land. And of course, you know, whenever you're in those areas on the way back in, the guy I had to pick up, he was actually going to the airport, and we were heading back on one of those country roads there, and there was some farm equipment that was in front of us. You know, as often said, that whenever you're trying to get somewhere quickly, it seems as though that's when everything becomes a standstill, you know. And then, of course, if maybe you're not really concerned about the time, that's when everything moves quickly. It's interesting how maybe that works, or maybe it doesn't work that way. Maybe it's all an illusion, if you will. But anyway, yeah, beautiful, beautiful day. Got to come home and had some taco salad. I don't know if any of you guys and gals like taco salad. Put some hot sauce on there, you know. Make it spicy. Anyway, the meal was good. Watched a little basketball with the kids. Owen Lake, you know, he's all about watching the basketball, but we're trying to merge that idea with actually getting on the court and for him to play. Of course, right now, I think, again, as I've stated in the past, he struggles with that for some reason. So maybe we'll be able to encourage him and get him along in that way. You know, just maybe a little bit of tidbit advice for parents out there. One of the things that Reagan and I always kind of, you know, not that we tried to force our kids into sports. If they wanted to play sports, then that was fine. The only rule that we had was that if you, you know, signed up for it, if you wanted to do it, then you had to finish it. You know, so if you got in there and you realized that it's not really what you thought it was, and maybe you just want to quit, that's not the option. So just a little bit of advice. And so we've had to prod him along in that area, but he's getting there. So pray for him in that. I did just want to share here in the book of James. I think this would be fitting. You know, James in the New Testament is a short book and very direct. We would say that in our conversations with people sometimes that things aren't direct. We here in America, we probably, you know, cushion a lot of our conversation when we are speaking with people, for either because it, we could even say it might be interpreted as being offensive if we are too direct, or however it is that we speak towards one another. But I think when it comes to the Bible and here in James, there are some words that penetrate to a certain degree for us as we read through and understand exactly what is being instructed for us. And so I think it's beneficial for us to kind of look at it that way, that, hey, you know, it's supposed to kind of grab us, if you will, like, oh, you said that. Yeah, that's what God's word says. And so I think it would be good for us to kind of maybe just spend a little time on and work through. So I just wanted to read a few verses here in chapter 1. So James chapter 1 says this: James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Says this: consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And then he goes on to say in verse 60, you must ask in faith. But I really want to just kind of camp out for a moment on these couple of verses that we've probably heard many times, or maybe we've not. When the reference is given to consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. I remember my son Jace had sent me a text message one time, and he wanted to get advice on whether or not he should send certain verses at certain occasions. And there was an occasion where he had, you know, known a situation that was going on, and he said, you know, do you think this would be an appropriate passage to send? You know, and I think that in moments where people are hurting, we have to be careful with what we send, you know, because like with situations that could be very deeply disturbing, you know, with say, let's just use an example. This is a hypothetical situation, but say there is a woman that just lost her baby. You know, we're not going to send James 1, verse 2 to consider it joy. Because that's a difficult moment for that person. And I know I just basically said about James being direct, but, you know, in those moments, we also show some grace and compassion to basically bear that burden with that person that's dealing with a great loss of life in of itself. So, you know, it sounds as though is something that would be needed to kind of be worked through instead of just putting a passage out there that could be interpreted the wrong way. You know, that needs some kind of walking through, if you will. And then, of course, you would say, well, the Bible is saying for us to be joyful in the moments that we are facing. And there's nothing wrong for that advice or instruction. But in the moment of dealing with whatever it is that may be a gigantic loss compared to losing a child, that's a hard road to walk down. So compassion, understanding, you know, maybe Psalm 62 verse 1 through 2 would be more of an encouraging word of affirmation for that person that's, you know, going through that process instead of something like this. Because again, I think that this is more of an instruction time when we read James 2, not so much words of comfort. Not to say that the Bible is not comforting in all of its sources, but just for us to consider the impact of how somebody could take that information that we're sharing with them and what they're dealing with at that moment, and then a matter of interpretation. And of course, that could be deciphered a bunch of different ways, but all I'm saying is that when we consider, right, when we consider these things and how we communicate with other people, we also are careful in how that's done. So just remember that, I guess, whenever we're saying, you know, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. You know, at some point down the line, after the hypothetical illustration that I gave with a woman losing her child, at some point down the line, after that has kind of been some time, maybe we could work that process in. And to some degree, I would say that even a believer that has gone through such a tragic event as that, they would probably start to cultivate within themselves the understanding of what that joy means because of God fulfilling his promises in a believer's heart, even though there was something so tragic and difficult to get through. So it's a process. So we'd say it's almost like sanctification. It is, literally. And so I think that's something to consider as we look at the things that we go through in life. Maybe we don't always deal with them in the response or give the right response at the time because of whatever it is that we maybe hurt by, or it's a trial that pains us in such a way that we don't know exactly how to respond to it. I think James again is pulling us back to the understanding that no matter what that trial or situation may be in your life, you do have a greater joy. And the greater joy that you have is in Christ. So the reminder for us as believers is that once we go through those things in our lives, that we can consider it, right? We can consider the fact of what's been accomplished through Christ and not the actual situation itself. So our motivation and our focus remains upon on what's been given to us and what we've been rescued from and what one day through glorification that we'll come in to encounter that. I think there's a song that says, when my faith becomes my sight. So that time will come. So we could say that all this is for the betterment, if you will. And maybe not in the immediate. Again, I just want to stress that sometimes when the immediate, in the moment when it happens, you know, we're not jumping to James and saying, man, I'm just happy that I, you know, got this flat tire. Or, you know, I'm just happy that I accidentally overdrew my bank account. Now there's no money in there. I'm just giving different examples. But what we are saying is that I think as we start to mature, those words of instruction start to become more relevant. And as we age, you know, things that probably once devastated us when we were 20 years old, for those of us that are a little bit older now, right, we would probably just chuckle at when those things of life that seem so gigantic at the time, and now say 20 years later, they're not as big as they once were because we've matured and we've moved on. And so we deal with those things. And so we consider those things. We consider at what point we were and now where we are. And so I think that's what James is telling us, is that we can consider these things and understand that it's a working progress in which God is also molding us. And then he's allowing us to experience his grace, because he goes on to say in this passage, verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, you know, that you can endure. You might get some more gray hair, but with that you have wisdom. And then he says in verse 5, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all generously without reproach. You know, like, for instance, with my kids, you know, when they come and ask me something, you know, I'll take the time to give them an answer. You know, one of the other facets, or not facets, but interesting details to that is like, I've often thought about this with Owen Lake especially. I remember one time he had a little toy, and I've got this desk right here. And he didn't say anything, but he just set the toy on my desk, and it was broke. You know, I think in his mind, he has some understanding that if he brings it to me, that I'm going to fix it. There's something that's occurred within him to get an understanding that, hey, Dad can fix stuff, right? A little bit of stuff, not everything. You know, duct tape works good. And I think that's the comparison to how, when we say that God is our Heavenly Father, we consider these things that we go through. And again, going back to the fact that we may not immediately understand why it is that we're dealing with it, and there may be responses that we give that aren't proper, right? We're emotional creatures. So we may curse. We may drop the F-bomb. Oh, yeah, I said that. We're G-rated. A podcast, maybe, so I did say F-bomb. But anyway, you know, and I think that's where it comes into play, where we know that when we ask God for his help in the midst of these things that we're facing, we know that he's going to answer, because he's always answered, and he will continue to do that. So we've experienced that truth. And in our Sunday school lesson, again, this past Sunday, we've been working through the book of Exodus, and we saw how God has manifested his presence and the Israelites, and how he brought them out of captivity, and how he's been faithful in their life, how he continues to do these things and work in the miracles that he's demonstrated before their very eyes. And I think it's evident for us, as even now, that when we look at the passage in James and say, consider it all joy, my brethren. Now, that will take time, right? As I said, I just really want to reiterate that our mind will shift as we progress in our understanding of God's word. And when we start to think about what that means, that we're actually going to take the time to consider it, and to dwell upon it in a way that, hey, it's okay, because my Heavenly Father knows exactly what I need, and he can fix it. A boundless reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.